We're going to move and spring forward and go through all, not go through all, but we're going to spring forward to 1 Chronicles chapter number 13 here in just a few moments. But in chapter number 4 of 1 Samuel, if you're there, say amen. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, I'm going to read down through verse number 4, Miss Michelle, and we might read through verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." Now, that may seem like just a little thing, but if you go back and you read in chapter number 3 of 1 Samuel, you'll realize that God has now established Samuel as his prophet. All right, is everybody with me? All right, there's two of you with me. All right, I'm going to wait. Do we need to wait? Are we ready to go? Or how, where are we at? All right. So in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, if you go back and you read, you will find out that God has established Samuel as the prophet of Israel. Samuel is considered to be one of the last judges, the last judge. As a matter of fact, if you go and you do any study, you can go back before this. We see Judges, we see the book of Ruth, which happened during the judging stage or during the stage of Judges. Samuel was the last judge. If you understand this, then you'll understand Samuel was the one that anointed Saul. He was the one that anointed David. And so we move from a nation that is ruled and governed by God and solely by God to now in Samuel's lifetime, he will anoint a king over Israel, an earthly king. But in Samuel's day, in this part where we're at, in chapter number 3, he's just been established as the prophet of Israel. So in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel," was just a continuation from what we learned in chapter number 3, that he is now the prophet of Israel. And the Bible says, "Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched at Aphek." As we look at this, we realize one thing, that when God establishes his word, and that's what the prophets were. Is everybody with me? They spoke God. They were God's word to the people. All right? And so when God begins and establishes his word, how many of you know this? The enemy will attack. Right? He'll do the same thing in your life. You get saved, and when you start establishing God's word in your life, you're going to find that you have a perpetual enemy. He's going to come against you, and he's going to fight you with everything that he can. And here in chapter number 4, we find this enemy of Israel at the time to be the Philistines. The Bible says that they came out against Israel, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And so they go out to battle against this enemy, against the Philistines, and they suffer a great loss. The Bible tells us that 4,000 people died. In other words, 4,000 men, they died in the field. This was one of those things, if you will, it was a problem. Can I get a witness? I say that because I want you to understand how it relates to us. You and I have things that come against us, and for a time, they seem, can I get a witness right here? They seem to overwhelm and defeat us. But the battle wasn't over. As we move on through Scripture, verse number 3, the Bible says, "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.'" Man, they seen an opportunity. See, for you to understand this, you'd have to understand the history of the ark. God gave Moses this ark all the way back in Exodus chapter number 25. God gave to Moses this ark of the covenant. And we see the travels of all the Hebrews. We've seen them going into the land of Canaan. We see them conquering the land of Canaan behind this ark. In other words, this ark, if you go back to Exodus chapter number 25, I believe it's in verse number 9, God tells Moses that there at that ark, between the cherubims on that mercy seat, he said, there will I meet with man. There will I meet with you. There will I dwell with you. This is what God intended. God intended for mine and your life to be lived in the presence of God. Wherever we go, to allow God, is everybody with me? To allow God to lead us, to walk in the spirit instead of in the flesh. In other words, you and I are to follow after God, to allow Him to guide. How many of you know that a shepherd leads the flock? He doesn't drive the flock. And so you and I are to follow the shepherd. And if you're saved in here, the Bible says that my sheep know my voice and they hear me. All right, so you and I are to follow after God. But these folks, they had gotten so far away from God that now I need somebody to help me. He's nothing more than an ATM machine. See, they had gone into battle. The enemy had come to attack, and the enemy had seemed to gain ground. The enemy had seemed to overwhelm. The enemy had seemed to have won the battle. And so they had this great idea, I'll just call on God and use Him for a bit. Everybody all right? This is Christianity today. We got people that come into church doors only when they got problems. As long as everything's going all right, as long as everything at the house seems to be okay, we don't need God. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Man, when your house is in array, when everything in the world seems to come against you, you can't get enough church. I'm going to have some fun preaching this. I don't care if you like it or not. Hey, when everything in the world seems to come against us and everything seems to come after us, man, we can't get enough church. Oh, we got folks that complain. Well, I can't believe we went to a 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock service and all this other stuff. But I promise you this, if hell was at your front door and the devil was knocking on your door, you'd be like, can I get to that 9 o'clock service? Can I get to the 11 o'clock service? Preacher, can we have a 1 o'clock service? Preacher, can we meet tonight? Can we meet Monday night? Can we just call a revival? Because right now, I need to be in God's presence. Because when I'm not in God's presence, that means the enemy is around. But this is how we treat God. This is how we treat God, Brother Johnny. We just come to church when we need God. We'll come to church. We might come to church this week. We might not come to church this week, depending on whether or not we need God, depending on how bad the enemy is.
That's right. Come on.
This is where they was at. They said, hey, let's fetch the ark. Did anybody catch the wording in that? Let's fetch the ark. We're going to bring it into Israel. We know the power of God.
That's right.
They did. They said, man, we'll just take this ark and throw it out there. And the man, you just watch God.
Amen.
Problem is their testimony.
That's right.
They've been counting on themselves so long. Go to verse number 4, Miss Michelle, if you will. And verse number 4 of 1 Samuel, it says, so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, these people were getting excited. We go get the Ark. We'll go get the presence of God when we want it.
Amen. Come on.
We'll go punch in the PIN number.
Amen.
Get what we want. We'll bring God out here in the middle of this thing, and we'll just let God. Hey, listen here. We didn't need Him, but now we do.
That's right.
Can I get a witness? Look at verse number 11. I ain't got time. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you continue on through the chapter, you'll find out that it didn't help nothing. The Philistines still put a whooping on them. Is everybody all right? I need somebody to help me. Ain't too many people using God like a lucky charm. The Bible says the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. If you go on, Miss Michelle, go to verse number 20 and we'll read through the end of the chapter. They weren't the only ones that were killed. These were the two sons of the priest, Eli. The Bible says, and about the time of her death, let me before I read this, let me tell you this. Eli was sitting there waiting. He was scared. Brother Johnny, the Bible says that he was shaken concerning the ark. He knew that this was a bad thing. There ain't no business taking the ark out there into that battle. And he was scared to death, and he sat there waiting for word to come back what had happened. And one of them escaped. He came back, said the Bible said that his clothes was rent, and his face had mud and earth all over it, and he come back, and Eli said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, both of you boys is dead, and the ark of God has been taken." And the Bible says Eli was 98 years old, and he was a fat boy. I need somebody to help me. And the Bible says he fell off his chair backwards and broke his neck and died. All right, now, let's go to verse number 20. And about the time of her death, a woman, or the women that stood by her, said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. This is Eli's daughter-in-law. This is Phinehas's wife. She was pregnant. When she heard the news that her husband had died, when she heard the news that her brother-in-law had died, when she heard the news that her father-in-law had died, she went into travail. Is everybody all right? Amen. The Bible says that she had a child. And as she was there, she was wanting to die. How many of y'all know this? I need a lady to help me out here because I don't know. I need everybody to help me out. I'm a man. I don't know this kind of things. But when a woman, the Bible says, or when a woman gives birth to a child, there's great joy. Apparently, y'all got bad kids, all right? I'm just throwing this out there. I mean, I there's great joy. I know there's travail. I know there's pain. I know all of that. But can I say this? When the child is born, there's joy, right? Help me, Michelle. My wife ain't even looking. She's just looking at me. She ain't even shook her head or nothing. Apparently, I got bad kids, all right? This woman was so, there was no joy. She had had a son, and for this and this culture, that was a big deal.
That's right.
But she had no joy. Matter of fact, the Bible says she was near unto death. In other words, she didn't care that she'd had a child. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel." Because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. This woman was in such pain. She was in such misery. All these things. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? She gets the news. One, Israel's lost the battle. That's a big deal. Number two, her husband's dead. Big deal. That's a big deal. Number three, her father-in-law, the priest, is dead. A big deal. And now the Ark of the Covenant is gone.
Amen.
Really big deal.
That's right.
And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken." She didn't even want to go on in life anymore.
That's right.
Is everybody with me? Her mindset, Brother Frank, was if God's not with us, what point is there in living?
Amen.
The glory of God has departed. It's gone. Am I to go on about my daily life? Am I to continue on as if nothing happened?
Come on now.
Go over to 1 Chronicles chapter number 13, Miss Michelle, and find me verse number 4. Fast forward. The ark has been taken. Go do a Bible study. It's awesome. They take the Philistines take the ark and they put it in their trophy room with their gods. Each day they come out there, their gods is laying down, bowed down to the ark. I need y'all help me. I need somebody to help me. I mean, after a while, it don't take long. Can I say they just set the thing back up, come back in the next day, and it's back down on its feet with its hands cut off and everything. I need somebody to help me right now. Sooner or later, you got to know this. God is more powerful than anything that he'll come in. It'll come in opposition to him. And anything that you put before, anything that you put before him, he will destroy it.
Come on.
Everybody all right? Y'all didn't get that. Y'all shouting and all excited about it. But what you ain't realized is that you and I put a lot of things before God. If we're not real careful, God makes sure he proves to you how big he really is. The Bible says, look at this. 1 Chronicles chapter number 13, verse number 4. The Bible says, and all the congregation said that they would do so. Let me go back to verse number 1 and we'll read down. The Bible says, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and if it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. Verse number 3, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. Check this out. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul.
Amen.
This woman, when the ark was taken, stay with me. When the ark was taken, she said, we can't even go on with life.
That's right.
What good is it that I had a child? What good is it? What does it matter? That I had a child. I don't even want to go. I don't want to go home. I don't want to go through life without God.
That's right. Come on.
The glory is departed.
That's right. Yep.
For the ark of God has been taken. Now we fast forward and we find out that these people have never inquired about bringing the ark back to where it belongs.
Amen.
Philistines said, we don't want it. They sent it back on a new cart. I mean, I need somebody to help me. After Dagon done ended up on his face a couple of times with no hands and everything else. They're like, I don't want the thing. We'll put it back and just send it back over there. Put, matter of fact, put gifts inside the thing because we don't want to ever see it again. Is everybody all right?
That's right. Come on.
But the people, stay with me. The people have gotten so used to living without it
that
they didn't even miss it. They didn't miss it. But, buddy, we look at this and we say, well, they didn't inquire it in the days of Saul. And the last king that reigned, they didn't inquire about it in that. But that's not just it. See, because chapter number 4, where the ark was taken of 1 Samuel, we didn't even have a king anointed yet. So there was a time period before Samuel anointed, before Samuel ever anointed Saul to be king, there was a time that they didn't inquire about it either. Matter of fact, the best study that I can do on it, I believe they were 70 years.
That's right, come on.
70 years that ark was not inquired about. She said, I can't live with it. But everybody else found a way to. I'm going to walk over here. Phinehas' wife says, I cannot live. I don't even want to go on if God's not present with us. 70 years later, God still. Not with them. Is this registering to anybody? We have learned how to go about our life without the presence of God.
Amen.
We have learned how to say the right things. We've learned how to dress. We've learned how to talk. We've learned how to do all these. We've learned to make our routine as such that everybody thinks that we spend time with God. But the truth is the glory has departed out of some of our lives. We just go through the routine. There was a time when you first got saved, man, you couldn't even think. It wasn't even possible to think about going to church without the presence of God.
That's right.
But now we wake up on Sunday mornings and we fighting like cats and dogs at the house before we ever leave for church.
Come on.
I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
I might get up, man, my alarm went off. My wife, she ain't getting up. I ain't getting up. I jumped in the shower. I did things that I needed to do. I went in there and I made coffee and everything else. And I had a deer in the front yard this morning. He was just out there. She was out there feeding around in the front yard. And that's the only way I can get my wife up. I walked in there. I said, baby, there's a deer in the front yard. She's like, okay, let me see. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Let me tell you what she did. She came in there. She said, wow, that's a big one. I said, it sure is. Isn't that thing pretty? She said, it sure is. And she walked back out. Everybody all right? I finished what I was doing there in the kitchen. It's about 6:30, 6:25, something like that. I walked back in there. Brother Johnny, she done laid out, got to clean. I said, what are you doing? She said, just leave me alone. I said, you do know I got to preach today. It's like church day, right?
Amen.
Everybody all right? We don't even ride together. We don't ride together because I need somebody to help me because we'll fight. Y'all know why we went to two services? Because we need the parking. Because y'all are smart too, and some of y'all won't ride together. So we got twice as many vehicles in the parking lot as we do people in the building. Is everybody all right? Man, we come to church like this all the time. I need somebody to help me. It's funny. It sounds funny while the preacher's saying it, but the truth is we come to church and we don't care. We've learned how to live without the presence of God. If God shows up, okay. If he doesn't, it's all right. It ain't no big deal. But the truth of the matter is you and I ought to be just like that woman that gave birth to Ichabod. If God's not with us, I don't want to go any further. That was all introduction. David enters the scene. David is now king. David, God, this little shepherd boy, this little boy that's been out there. Matter of fact, he was overlooked by everybody. Samuel comes to Jesse and says, God said to anoint one of your boys. And Jesse brought all them boys in front of Samuel except for one who was out there in the field with those sheep. Little old boy, is everybody all right? Named David, a little shepherd boy nobody thought anything about. Nobody thought he had anything to offer the world. Jesse, his own daddy, didn't even think he had anything to offer the world.
That's right, come on.
They brought him before Samuel, and God said, that's the one. God said, you look on the outside, but I look on the heart. He said, that man, is everybody all right? I'm finna hurt your feelings. That man has my heart. He has my heart. He has my heart. He has my desire. Is everybody all right? Boy, we like to look at David and we can point out all the bad things that David did, but one thing that David had was a heart for God. And God said, I ain't looking on the outside. I'm looking on the inside. That boy wants to please me. That boy wants to be with me. That boy, is everybody all right? Fast forward now, David's king, Saul's dead. And David said, I don't want to go any further. David said, I don't want to go any further without the presence of God. I ain't going to be like Saul. I ain't going to be like those that went on before me. I ain't going to be like those that just... He said, I don't even want to go any farther without the presence of God. And so we see David's concern. David had a concern for the people because the people didn't know what they were missing.
Amen.
I'm going to stay right here for just a few moments. There's some preachers in here that have seen the power of God. They have seen God work. They have seen God do things. But there's some of you that it's all you've ever done is heard about God moving. All you've ever done is maybe read about God moving. But David had seen God move. David had watched what God had done when he was running from Saul. David had watched the provisions that God had given him, the protection that God had given him. David had seen God do some great things when he stood out there in front of a guy that was over 9 foot tall with nothing more than a sling and a stone. David said, I've seen God and I know what he can do. And I refuse to go on through life without him. There's so many people that are living life wanting to go out there and slay giants, and they don't know God. They don't understand. Most of them jump at the chance to jump into somebody else's armor and go out there and fight and get all the glory. Go out there and fight and have their name exalted and lifted up. But the truth of the matter is, a man after God's own heart says, I ain't going into that battle unless God's going with me. Why? Because David said, the battle is the Lord's. David had a concern. People had gotten reckless. The nation of Israel had gotten reckless. They'd lived without the power of God and the presence of God. They'd gotten negligent. They didn't want it. They didn't desire after it. 70 years, the ark rested in a place that it wasn't prepared. Wasn't prepared for it. 70 years, everybody went around and said, it's all right, we ain't got to have it. But David's concerned. He was concerned with their recklessness. He was concerned with their negligence. But he was concerned with their future. And this preacher's concerned with our future. I don't want our church to get used to living without the presence of God. I don't want you to come to church and get used to coming in here without the presence of God. But I know this. I know that it's a dangerous thing. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's many of us that sit in here in the presence of God weekly. We go through life as though God owes us something. And many have learned to live without his presence. David had a concern. David's catalyst. Not only we see David's concern, but we see David's catalyst. We see his passion. David had a heart for God. He wanted God's presence, but David also has a past, and he knew that God could do some great things. I'm moving quickly. And David knew his potential. He could be great. The nation of Israel could be great, but it was only going to happen with God's presence. We see his confusion. I'm moving quickly because Jake sang too long. His confusion. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter number 13, verse 7 through 14, that David tried to bring the ark the same way that the Philistines sent the ark back. The Bible says they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. We see David's concern, we see his catalyst, but we see his confusion. His blueprint was secular. His blueprint was secular. David said, I'm going to do it like I've seen it done in other places. David said, the Philistine, it was good enough for the lost to send it back on the ark. That's how we'll bring it forth. Or send it back on a cart. That's how we'll bring it forth. And so, listen, they started doing it like the lost people would do it.
That's right. Come on now.
They started acting like the world. Brother Johnny, they said, we'll just bring... It ain't a big thing that the ark has been gone. It's been 70 years. We'll try it a new way. Why y'all shaking your head at me like, no, they did wrong? Y'all have done the same thing. Don't lie to me. Don't act like y'all ain't never Googled something to find out how to do it easier. We lazy. We don't want to go through what it takes to get our hearts prepared. Man, I ain't going to preach the rest of it. I mean, I might. But anyhow, this is good because we come to church just like the lost world would come to church.
That's right.
Stay with me. We come to church and we're not engaged in it. We come to church, we pay no preparations for it. How many of you got up this morning and the first thing you did was pray? Stop it. Stop it. I got about six people raising their hand. Everybody else is sitting. I need somebody to help me. Do you think that's what? You think that's going to bring the presence of God? We got six people in the church, got up this morning and prayed for God's presence here, Brother Johnny. You think that that's going to bring God's presence into the church? No, we're going to do it like the world does. How does the world do it? The world just jumps out of the bed. There ain't no jumping out of the bed. They roll out of the bed. Roll into some clothes. I need somebody to help me. Roll up into the parking lot. Roll inside. Roll into a chair. And sit there as if y'all's job is to bless me. I need somebody to help me. Oh, man, I've seen it on TV. I've seen it on the internet. All you got to do is start singing and we'll start praising. But I ain't doing it to y'all. I didn't like that song, preacher. That's not my favorite song. I'm having fun. Are y'all having fun yet? Yeah. I didn't like that song, preacher. That ain't my favorite song. Why we got to sing them old? Why we got to say? Why can't we just sing something new? Why can't we just? Is everybody all right? Well, I love it. I love how many people are critical about the church when they won't even get up in the morning and pray for it. Critical about the preacher and how he does things. Critical about the choir. Critical about the people that are doing everything. And you just admitted that there ain't but six people that's sitting in this building that got up this morning and prayed before they come to church. We want a new way. We want a new way. What's that praying stuff? Huh? We don't pray. It's called praise, preacher. It's not called pray. We're going to come into church and we'll just praise until he shows up. But the problem is you won't even do that. I need somebody to help me. I got to get up there like it's a pep rally.
That's right. Come on.
I got to get up there and say, hey, have you thanked God for everything? No, I ain't thanked God. No, you hadn't because you ain't prayed this morning.
That's right.
I'm having fun. David made the same mistake. He made the same mistake. He thought he could do it like everybody else seems to be doing it. He thought he could do it like he'd seen it done somewhere else. God said, There ain't but one way to get. There ain't but one way to get into my presence. There ain't but one way. And so David corrected things. I need somebody to help me. Most people just leave the church. Well, they didn't bless me today. Hey, somewhere else got better music and a better preacher. I'm sure, and he doesn't preach as long. Lord, help, he don't preach as long. I'm just going to go over there. I can get me a little sermonette. Everybody all right? I can get my little praise on. I ain't going to pray about the church. I'm all right.
That's right. Come on.
David corrected things. I'm trying to think of my sub-points. That's why I'm dragging this out. Is everybody all right? David corrected things. How did he correct things? Number one, he sought after God. Matter of fact, he said this in the scripture here in 1 Corinthians or 1 Chronicles 13. Maybe it was 15. Go to chapter 15, Miss Michelle. I got to get up there. I'm trying to do this. But in chapter number 15, it was two different places. David said that they did not seek after God in the way that they done things. And the Bible says that he says, in verse number 2 of chapter 15, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And then in verse number 13, he says, for because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. Listen, for that we sought him not after the due order. David corrected things, but the way he corrected things was he sought after God. He went back. Everybody stay with me. He went back to the Word of God. Did you notice that in verse number 2? He said, none ought to carry the ark, but the Levites. Where did he get that from? The Word of God. And the Bible says that he did this. Look here. He said that we sought him not after the, say it with me, due order. In other words, God has a plan when it comes to his presence. When it comes to carrying this ark here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 15, God designed it a specific way that it was to be handled. David tried a new way, but he corrected it. We see his seeking, we see his setting, we see his singing, we see his sacrifice. If you're doing subpoints, this is good. Stay with me. David said, I'm going to seek the Lord and we're going to find out how to do this right. He said, none should carry the ark but the Levites. They're God's chosen people to minister before him, and nobody should carry this ark. Nobody should bring this ark or bear this ark except them, and they are to bring it in on their shoulders. Man, I ain't got time. I wish I did, as I'd break it down for you, but if you go in the New Testament, you'll find out that now you and I are a royal priesthood. You and I have been chosen to carry the presence of God around this world. You and I are just like the Levites of the Old Testament. You and I are the Levites of the New Testament. Stay with me. We have been chosen to carry God's presence. But we got to prepare ourselves for it. So David sought after God, sought after the word of the Lord, how to do it. And he said, ain't nobody can carry this thing but us. I'm going to go right over here. Hey, so many of us, we want five, we want two, we want three people to carry it all. And us just enjoy the blessings of it. But we have been, we've been called to carry it. And David set up some things. I ain't got time to read it, Brother Johnny, but if you'll go into 1 Chronicles chapter number 15, starting in about verse number 5, all the way to about verse number probably 12 or something, David sets up singers. Those that would play instruments. Those, is everybody right? David said, we're going to bring this ark in. Yes, we're going to do it the right way. The right people is going to bring it in. He said, but we're going to celebrate. Stay with me. I've always said this, and y'all hear me say it all the time. God's not going to make you worship him. Right? Right? Y'all heard me say that? God's not going to make you. We live in this charismatic movement, in this charismatic world where we think that God has to come on us for us to worship him. Oh, the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit ever gets a hold of me, preacher, I will. I'll sing up. I'll shout. I'll stand up. I'll raise my hand. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. When I asked Jesus about that, Jesus said this. He said, if they don't cry out, the rocks will. In other words, what he was saying was this. You have a choice. You will make a decision. And if you worship God, it will be on purpose.
All right, come on.
Oh, yeah. You raise your hand. Somebody hear me. It'll be on purpose. If you stand up, it'll be on purpose. If you say amen when he says say amen, it'll be on purpose. David said, I ain't leaving it up to how y'all feel this week. David said, we're going to set people up that are going to sing and they're going to play instruments before the Lord in the presence of God. Is everybody all right? I'm thinking about y'all be easy because I'm thinking about starting to set up some things. Y'all going to be praising, all right? Y'all going to be worshiping. Say, but I don't want to preach. I don't feel like it today. David wasn't taking that chance. He set some people up to do some things. The Bible says that they sang and they played before the Lord. And the Bible says that David danced. Make a Baptist have a heart attack. He did what? He danced? He sure did. He sure did. He danced. I'm talking about David did it in front of everybody. David showed everybody in the nation of Israel that had gathered together to watch that ark come in that God was more important. And his pride,
that's right.
His appearance,
that's right.
His mannerisms.
That's right.
Everybody with me? God was more important than that.
Amen. Yeah.
And the Bible says that as they walked with that ark, every time they took seven steps, David said, hold on, we're going to make some sacrifice right here. Is everybody all right?
That's right. Come on.
They sacrificed before the Lord. Sometimes I need somebody to hear me. Sometimes it's easy to praise God, and sometimes it's a sacrifice.
That's right.
I've watched people come in here and you celebrate them. You talk about them. They'll get up and they'll hoop and they'll holler. And you say, boy, it sure was good to have them in service. But I remember people like Miss Kim, whose daughter had died the day before, called me while I was on a trip and sitting on a motorcycle. And she said, preacher, we've lost my daughter. And I can remember Miss Kim walking this aisle right here. I can remember her coming down here the day after her daughter had died. The day after her 20-something-year-old daughter had died, she come right here. Not because she felt like it. Not because she felt like it. Not because she wanted to show off for somebody. Not because she wanted attention. But because he was worthy. And she come and she laid down on the altar, both hands to God, and said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
That's right. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sacrifice of praise. Yeah, yeah. Watch me, little Miss Lorraine. I told y'all about her Wednesday night running around laps around the building there at Victory. Little old midget, she wasn't that big. She run that lap. She had to run twice as far as everybody else, and I ain't joking. I'm serious. That little old thing, she run all the way around that building. It got shorter and shorter and shorter. Said, that woman's crazy. What is she doing? Who runs for God? I was having problems with people raising their hand when I got there, much less somebody taking off and running a lap. I watched that little woman. I ministered to her teenage daughter. I was standing at her bedside when she died. Every time that woman run a lap, it got shorter and shorter. What most people in that building didn't know, she was living with cancer. She was dying from cancer. Sacrifice. Every time that service would get going, she'd jump up, come running through that choir, run down them steps, run as far as she could around the building, go back to her seat, lift both hands to God and say, you're worthy.
That's right.
She taught me more about worship than any preacher has.
That's right. Come on now.
I'm done. Maybe. David experienced some criticism. Won't you listen to me? David had a wife whose name was Michal. Michal was sitting up in a window and she was watching what was going on. She watched David dance. Apparently she was Baptist.
Amen.
He come home to bless his home. She had a problem what was going on.
That's right. Come on now.
You know why? God wasn't worthy to her.
That's right.
Oh, stay with me. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse number 20, Miss Michelle. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse number 20. 2 Samuel chapter number 6 and 1 Chronicles chapter number 15 are parallel passages. Chapter number 15 of 1 Chronicles tells us about Michal at the end of it, but 2 Samuel chapter number 6 gives us some details. It says, then David returned to bless his household. Man, David was excited. God was moving, the presence of God. Man, God had done all these things. The nation of Israel was now once again in the right place with God. He comes home to bless his household. Bible says, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows. Boy, we like to take that thing and make it secular, make it worldly. And I've heard people tell us that David was naked. I've heard people say that David was just in his underwear. I've seen movies that portrayed David as half-dressed, dancing before the Lord. You hear me good? We've missed something here.
That's right. Come on.
See, the problem Michal had with David was that he was the king.
That's right.
And he had taken off the royal apparel. Oh, God help me right here. Help me to help you right here. What Michael was so upset about was that David had taken off everything that shown him to be king. David said, I'm not the real king.
That's right. Come on.
Woo! David said, I'm not the real king. David said, God, he's the capital.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
King.
That's right.
Everybody with me? And what I've learned in life, I'm done. What I've learned in life is that as long as you have your crown on, as long as you have your royal robe on, as long as you want to be king,
right.
God will let you.
That's right. Come on. Good preacher.
What I've learned is that if you truly want to worship him, you're going to have to take all that off.
Right.
Not your clothes. You're going to have to take off an attitude of, I'm the boss.
That's right.
You're going to have to take off the attitude of, I'm the one that's leading this thing.
That's right. Come on.
Is everybody all right?
Amen.
This morning, we're done. Service is over. You fixing to get to go home. But will you go home as king? Or will you like David? God, here's the crown. Here's the robe. I ain't worthy.
That's right. Come on.
You are.
Yeah, that's right.
Heads bowed with me this morning. I need some people to show up around the altar because this is what I know. I know the Old Testament was written so that you and I can learn some things. One thing that I've learned, these passages of scriptures, it's easy to get to a place in our life where we live without the presence of God. We accept life without him. We use him as they did, just when we need to get something from him. This morning, let's take off that crown. Let's take off that robe. Let's set some things in order. Let's seek after God. Let's sing praises and sacrifice. He's worthy this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. God, we're living in a day and time. Too many people are going through the motions of church, going through the motions of Christianity. And it's obvious to the world, but it's not so obvious to us. To those that are living that way, Lord, they think that they got it together and they're living in the blessings of God, but they're living in the absence of God. They're king of their life. They're wearing the crown. They're wearing the robe. Lord, it's almost as if we're just shaking our finger in your face. God, I pray this morning some people in this building would seek after you. Lord, I'm the one. We're the ones. We are. We are the ones to carry you into this world. Lord, let us make the preparations. Let us seek after you. Let us set some things in order. Let's do our part. Like David, let us humble ourselves. Nobody deserves to be the king but you, Lord. If you're in this building this morning, you be honest with the preacher. I know it wasn't a salvation message, but what I do know is that God had been all over and around this building this morning. So if you're sitting in here this morning, heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, you were to be honest with me this morning and say, preacher, if I was to die sitting in this chair, I do not know where I'd spend eternity this morning. If that's you, I want you to just lift your hand right up where you sit. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to call you out. I just want to know how to end the service. Is anybody like that here this morning? All right. Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you. God, we thank you for your presence this morning, this hour. God, I ask you to do it all over again in the 11 o'clock. Lord, I pray that you'd touch this place. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for a church that would even allow us to come into your presence. Lord, I pray today we'd take something home, change some things in our life. It's scary to think. Out of so many people in the building, so many won't even prepare for church and prayer. God, help us. You're worthy. And God, you can do in a moment what a preacher cannot accomplish in years. Lord, we need your presence. To meet here without it, Lord, is to meet here in vain. God, I love you this morning and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.